Coming up today, Kendra White tells how the upcoming AFA Activate Summit prepares kids to contend for biblical truth.
The world is going to try to convince your kids that it's just a bunch of made-up stories and that it's filled with all kinds of errors, and we want to equip them to be able to answer skeptics.
Then, how did we get a president who's willing to take on the tyranny of gender ideology? Dr. Robert Gagnon will explain.
Most people, they wouldn't predict that a guy like Trump would go to the mat for that. I mean, we're not going to give him the award of Christian of the Decade, right? Yet here he is. God is using him as this instrument.
Thanks for joining us today. I'm Jeff Shambly, and this is The Stand Radio. Well, if you've ever wanted to grow in your love for God's Word and learn how to talk to others about the reliability of the Scriptures, then you need to know about the upcoming AFA Activate Summit on June the 12th through 14th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Now, in addition to speakers like Frank Turek, Ed Vitagliano, Todd Herman, Abraham Hamilton III, and Alex McFarland, there are plenty of things for the kids, too. Kendra White is heading up the kids' track for the summit and is here to tell us more about it. Hi, Kendra.
Hi, I am so excited. And, you know, God's Word is so trustworthy. And I just want to be able to train these kids that they can trust that the Bible really is what their parents say it is.
The title of the summit, Kendra, Biblical Bedrock, Building on the Authority of Scripture. So tell us what your role is in this and how this kids' track fits into that theme.
Yeah, so I'm going to be the content creator. We're actually also making a video curriculum that if parents later want to purchase and go even deeper into this content, that they'll be able to buy later on after the conference is over. So I'm going to be one of the teachers at the conference and really helping to guide the writing of this kind of curriculum. So the curriculum itself, we're going to be talking about the same kinds of things that the adults are doing, the same kind of worldview training, but in a kid-friendly, kid-appropriate way. We're really focusing on that question of, can I trust the Bible? Because the world is going to try to convince your kids that it's just a bunch of made-up stories and that it's filled with all kinds of errors. And we want to equip them to be able to answer skeptics.
Yeah. So when you're bringing in the kids, all right, so this is ages, what, 6 through?
So this is ages 6 through 12, really going pretty deep here. So we're going to be tackling questions like the reliability and authority of Scripture, the inspiration, and we're doing it in a way that is going to be fun. You know, we know that kids don't just learn by sitting and listening. They have to get up, and they have to move, and they have to do, and they have to touch, and they have to taste. And so we're going to be using all of the senses to help train your kids. We're literally going to have crafts that they're doing where they are making papyrus paper and learning about the process that the scribes did when the Bible was translated and passed on and preserved for us today. They're going to be doing games where they get up and they're going through an obstacle course and talking about how God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light into our path. They'll do it one time blindfolded and one time with the lights on and seeing the difference about how God's Word really guides our path. Even the snacks that we have are going to be talking about our role as being salt and light. And they're going to be eating bland food without salt and then salty food and comparing. So no matter what kind of learner your kid is, we hope that this material is really going to seep into their hearts.
I'm laughing because, Kendra, I know you and I've seen you with children before. And I'm laughing because these kids are going to be worn out by the time you get through.
That's our goal. Parents, we want them to be exhausted and have a smile on their face and hopefully be able to remember something.
Well, parents, you will not find a more excited teacher than Kendra White. I can tell you that. So this is going to be great. So when you're talking about, the authority of Scripture to a six-year-old and then a 12-year-old, there are differences there. So how do you handle that content with all of that age group? That's a wide age group, 6 to 12.
It is. So we're going to be breaking them up into three different groups kind of by their age, and they'll have a teacher and team leaders in small groups of about 10. Okay. And so they're going to be really learning the same content, but in the discussion time, you know, the older kids are going to be able to take this to the next level and go a little bit deeper.
All right. This is very, very exciting. Okay. So this is the Biblical Bedrock, Building on the Authority of Scripture, Activate Summit 2025. It's coming up June the 12th through the 14th at the Cadence Bank Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi. And the website to find out more is activate.afa.net/summit. Once again, activate.afa.net/summit. We hope that you will go. Kendra, thanks so much for stopping in today.
Thank you.
The sexual revolution of the 60s didn't stop with the breakdown of marriage, but ultimately gave way to the transgender ideology that has permeated nearly every institution of society. But with the incoming Trump administration, that ideology has suffered a very serious setback. Joining me is Dr. Robert Gagnon. He is a world-renowned expert on the Bible's view of homosexual practice, and his book, The Bible and Homosexual Practice, Text and Hermeneutics, is considered the definitive work on that topic. His latest article in the April issue of The Stand magazine is Trump's Executive Order Ends Trans Tyranny and Protects Females. Dr. Gagnon, welcome to The Stand Radio.
Thank you for having me on, Jeff.
Let me read to you the title of the executive order, and then I want to get into some of the language and get your response. The title is Defending Women from Gender Ideology Extremism and Restoring Biological Truth to the Federal Government. Now, in that, here's some quotes. He says, ideologues who deny the biological reality of sex have used coercive means to permit men to gain access to intimate single-sex spaces designed for women. He says, this is wrong. He goes on to say in the executive order, basing federal policy on truth is critical to scientific inquiry, public safety, morale, and trust in government itself. That's powerful language. What was your reaction when you first read those words from the president?
Well, we've been so long under the regimes that are promoting transgenderism with all its harms to society that it just sort of hits you like cold water in your face. It's like, wake up. Oh, yes. You know, people can actually say these realities publicly. And the federal government is making that declaration. So it's just an extraordinary development. Even just the language, as you noted, we're no longer talking about gender-affirming care, which is a complete misnomer. Now we're talking about chemical and surgical mutilation of minors, which is exactly what happens. So it's just a wonderful, refreshing thing to see coming from the federal government.
Give us a sense of the magnitude of all of this, because it's hard to imagine any serious person really walking this kind of language back. I mean, once you've said these words out loud and it has been published, does that mean that any serious promotion of gender ideology from the federal government is dead at this point?
Largely. Okay. Although we're still facing challenges with regard to the courts, particularly with regard to withholding funding. So some of that is up in the air, but hopefully will be resolved ultimately by the Supreme Court if it has to be. And as we know, executive orders can simply be removed by the next president, simply by fiat. So people may wonder, well, why don't the Republicans get this passed as legislation? And the reason for that is the longstanding tradition in the Senate that you have to have a supermajority in order to have a bill passed. So in this case, we're talking about 60 votes. Unfortunately, there are only 53 Republicans in the Senate. Two of those are rhinos, Republican in name only, with regard to these issues. So they're really down to about 51, which is significantly short of the 60 votes that they need. The problem is that every single Democrat votes against these kinds of bills, which protect women and children against the incursions of transgenderism. Every single one, no exception. So what we really need also to do, if we want to make this a little bit more permanent, is we have to get these Democratic senators out of the Senate through voting. And that's the main concern. But for now, at least, for the 4 years that Trump is in office, and hopefully if he's replaced by a good Republican like Vance, it will remain in place for a while. And we should be aware of what we're talking about here. Initially, that the transgender executive order that we're focusing on here was only the first of many. So it just laid out the initial guidelines of what would be done. And executive orders that followed fleshed it out in a number of individual cases with regard to schools, sports, the military, etc.
You use the word trans-tyranny in the title of your article. Take us back, if you will, to the last 4 years in terms of where we were all heading on this notion of gender identity under the Biden administration.
We were locked in by the Biden administration to promoting in schools that if males want to enter female restrooms, they're entitled to do that. He tried also to get males and female sports in school as part of his executive order, but it was canceled or obstructed by the courts. They were still trying to do that when he left office. This just touches so many areas. Hospitals. Hospitals get a tremendous amount of federal funding from the government. And part of what they did was perform chemical and surgical transition of minors. The military was loaded up with transgender propaganda. Trans pronoun use was required in the military. Males and female private spaces, transgender recruitment and enlistment were all emphases by the Biden administration. As we talked about also in sports generally, not just in schools, but outside of schools as well, in the workplaces, females not having secure restrooms that they can use in which female-identifying males can't enter. So there are just so many different facets that this touches. Eventually, what it ultimately touches is even parenting. Already in some places in the country, if you're a foster parent and you do not approve of your child's self-identification as LGBTQ, the state would remove that foster child from your home. California is a case in point. We're moving now in the direction in some urban areas where this can be used with regard to parenting, for example, in divorce cases, who gets custody of the child. In some states, again, like California and other states, if that child is LGBTQ identifying and you don't approve of it, you will not get custody of that child. It will go to the other parent. We have throughout the country, we have sanctuary states and sanctuary cities, where if parents do not approve of the transitioning of their child from one sex to another, which of course can't really happen in reality, but that's what they're trying to do chemically and surgically, then that child can get that so-called gender-affirming care, but really mutilation and castration done for them by these states. The courts will protect them from the states that they come from and ultimately even from their parents. California passed a bill that if you're being socially transitioned by your school into the other sex, they protect that school, the administration, the teachers, if it's discovered by the parents that they've been lying to the parents about this transitioning taking place. So it just intersects with every aspect of life. And that's why we call it tyranny, because it affects fundamental freedoms of speech, of exercise of religion, parental rights, and so on.
Dr. Gagnon, you acknowledge that this is likely to be challenged in the courts, but given the scientific definition now that we have of a man and a woman in this executive order, what objective basis really is left for anyone that might oppose this?
Well, there's always going to be competing definitions in the states, but so far as the federal jurisdiction is concerned, and that includes, of course, all sorts of fundings for the state, the Trump administration has developed an objective, biologically accurate definition of the sexes. And this has to do with what we call gametes. That is, if you're a female and you belong at conception to the sex that produces the large reproductive cell, the egg cell or the ovum, then you belong to that group of people, you're female. And if you, as a person, belong at conception to the sex that produces the small reproductive cell, that is the sperm cell, then you're a male. Straightforward biological categories that are used throughout the animal kingdom and for the human species as well. So that objective definition eliminates all the subjective definitions. It eliminates any other self-definition with regard to one's sex or gender that does not conform to male and female, and it also eliminates anybody identifying as a male if they don't belong to the sex that produces the small reproductive cell of sperm, and it rejects every female who identifies as a male, even though that she's somebody that belongs to the sex that produces the large reproductive cell or egg or ovum. So it's strictly biologically based now. It's not due to subjective understanding of who you are. So that pretty much does limit the states, limit schools, limit hospitals, limit the military, limit the workplaces, all the various areas of life in which federal funding or civil rights legislation is responsible, then they have to conform to that now. Now, of course, the states are fighting that. We see an example recently in Maine. They're already withholding from the school systems, university systems in Maine. All that's been federal funding has all been suspended because of their obstruction of this policy of not having males and female sports. So, Jeff, this is so extraordinary, right? Because most people, they wouldn't predict that a guy like Trump would go to the mat for that. I mean, we're not going to give him the award of Christian of the decade, right? But yet here he is. God is using him as this instrument. And he's like a bulldog with regard to this. He's very tenacious. You know, he's not afraid of saying, okay, we're just not going to give you your federal funding, period, until you straighten this out. I mean, you could get somebody, for example, that a politician that might in his personal life be a good Christian. Take, for example, Pence, excellent Christian in his personal life. But when he was governor in the state of Indiana, and he passed a bill to, to reject transgenderism, the corporate world responded in an uproar. We're going to boycott you, et cetera, et cetera. And he bailed. He diluted the bill so much that it really didn't have the significance it did before. Trump is not that kind of politician. So even though he might not in his personal life, at least more than 15 years ago, have been the ideal Christian, far from it, nevertheless, God has picked him to do this. It's just like what he did with the court appointments in his previous administration that led to the Dobbs decision and the cancellation of Roe and Doe with abortion. Who would have ever predicted he would have been the instrument? So in his first administration, God used him to be the instrument to ultimately reject those horrendous court rulings favoring abortion. And now he's being used as an instrument by God, and stand back and wonder to behold, to reject the whole transgender tyranny which has been upon our country. So it's just extraordinary, and I praise God for it.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because as you were talking about that, I was thinking, boy, God has done something marvelous here. And it's not like President Trump came to this after the election was over. In his inaugural speech, he made a point to say the federal government now has a new definition for what a man and a woman is. I mean, that was front and center. The world is watching this, and he makes it a center part of his administration. But I'll ask you this and get your opinion, because at some point you just have to wonder, maybe this is human nature, but with this definition that he's given now, an official definition for what a man and a woman is, you look at people like Neil deGrasse Tyson, who is a popular astrophysicist. He's been on Bill Maher's program. He is doubling down on the issue of gender ideology. And he's a scientist. I mean, at what point do you have to say, you know, you're right and I was wrong? Is this just sinful blindness? Would you chalk it up to sinful blindness on the part of a human heart?
Oh, absolutely blindness. And yeah, it's, you know, it's getting really bad when LGBTQ and especially the transgender part ideology is permeating the field of science, and scientists are no longer behaving like scientists. So Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know, his specialty, by the way, is not biology. So he doesn't really have any particular or special authority on this matter. But moreover, when he is defining male and female in purely subjective categories that have nothing to do with the reproductive organization of human bodies, male and female, then he ceases to be a scientist.
Exactly.
He is purely an ideologue. And at that point, he has no more authority than anyone else to speak on scientific matters. In fact, he has even less authority because he's allowed his own scientific worldview to be co-opted by a radical extremist sexual agenda, which has nothing at all to do with science. In fact, it's completely counter science, right? So when you're talking about, as deGrasse Tyson has done, talk about, you know, males who have their periods, for example. I mean, you know that this guy is nuts. There's no scientific standard that he's operating with. The science has been completely co-opted by ideology.
And you have to wonder now with Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Jackson Brown, who stood before her committee for her appointment, when asked how to define a woman, she says, "I'm not a biologist." So what do you do now with the new federal definition that sets this forth? Does she recuse herself from cases because she can't acknowledge what the federal government has plainly said?
Well, would that she would do such a thing, but I doubt that she ever would recuse herself, right? Of course she does have an operating definition. She just didn't want to say it because she knew it would raise problems for her appointment to the Supreme Court. But what she would have wanted to say and what she does actually think is that a woman is anyone who defines him or herself as a woman. But, you know, as Matt Walsh has nicely done in the film that he produced, it's a circular definition. Okay, well, if you're defining yourself as a woman, what is that thing that you're defining yourself as? You have to have some understanding of what the meaning of woman is in order to define yourself as such. That's the degree of confusion and obfuscation and science denying that we're at now. And Trump has come along and basically said to not just to the United States, but to the entire world, and as you noted, even in his inaugural address, with regard to transgender tyranny, the emperor has no clothes, right? you know, it's absurd. It's complete gaslighting. But that's exactly how the transgender ideology operates. It's complete and total sexual gaslighting. We have to believe that an obvious male, biologically speaking, is really a female.
Let me ask you about this, because the law, and we can be thankful for this, and it's a biblical concept. The law is a teacher. The law is there to instruct us and to enlighten our minds as to what is right and wrong. Federal law does the same thing. Do you see this trickling down, even to the states, as much as opposition might still be there, in instructing and encouraging people to stand on this definition of a man and a woman that's been officially put out by the federal government?
Oh, that's an excellent point. Excellent point, Jeff. The didactic function of the authority of the federal government. So yes, it's emboldening people to say what they always knew. It's again, the emperor without clothes, right? The first person who says, hey, look, the child who says, look, the emperor has no clothes. Suddenly, the whole ideological confusion begins to dissipate at that point, and people get planted back again, feet firmly planted back on reality, right? And everybody knows that a male who says that he's a female doesn't make him a female, right? It's an absurd thing to claim that. So once you have an authority like the federal government saying it, then you can say it in your workplace. You can say it among your friends. You can say it in some sort of political venue. And you can say, well, I can point to the whole federal government operates with this point of view now, right? So you have that behind you to reinforce. And that gives people courage. It dissipates the confusion in their brains over this matter and helps them to plant their feet back in reality.
We're in a situation now where I think the Lord has provided an open door for Christians to speak on this issue because it is a contemporary issue in our culture. But to drive that truth home biblically, Would you just speak to the person who is in a hostile situation and is surrounded by people that are still operating in this gender ideological insanity?
Yes, a lot of Christians are operating in venues and workplaces and social situations where they feel this sort of oppressive mindset over them, and sometimes there are regulations in that effect too that put one in jeopardy with regard to one's speech. And take solace from the fact that you can see here culture beginning to change over this. And remember that your citizenship is not in this world, but in the kingdom of heaven. And so a big part of the Christian faith, right from its inception, right from the early church on, has always been boldness of speech. And we have that kind of freedom as Christians to speak the truth in love in the face of a culture beset by lies. And we need fear no human being. What did Jesus tell us? Don't fear human beings who can only kill the body. Fear God who can send body and soul to hell. This is a good reminder for all of us not to be enslaved by the culture, but rather to be slaves of our Lord Jesus Christ and sons and daughters of our Lord Jesus Christ. And fear no human being. Things are changing, everybody. Be bold, bold in your speech, bold in your convictions, and don't let anybody enslave you to fleshly, sinful human ideations.
Good word, Dr. Gagnon. We would encourage you to check out the video series that we have produced by Dr. Robert Gagnon in the AFA Resource Center. If you want to build a strong biblical case for God's design in human sexuality, we would point this to you. It's a two-volume set. Volume 1 is entitled Interpreting the Bible, and Volume 2 is Creation and Sexual Ethics. Again, that's at the AFA Resource Center, and we'll put that link on our podcast page. Once again, we've been speaking to Dr. Robert Gagnon, author of the book The Bible and Homosexual Practice, Text and Hermeneutics. You can find that book at christianbook.com. ChristianBook.com. If you'd like to find out more about Dr. Gagnon, you can follow him on X and on Facebook. Dr. Gagnon, great conversation today. Thank you for your work, and thank you for the great article that you've written in this month's Stand magazine. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Jeff. God's blessings.
Next time, as we get ready to celebrate Palm Sunday, Dr. Andreas Kostenberger will join us to outline the events leading up to Jesus' triumphal entry and crucifixion, and talk about his book, The Final Days of Jesus, the most important week of the most important person who ever lived. It'll be a great conversation. You can get a free trial subscription to The Stand magazine at afa.net and find these podcasts on afr.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time on The Stand Radio.